Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's Dennis and Callahan on a Freeform Friday. Greg Dickerson along. If my math is correct, he is in his 19th season pitching for the Atlanta Braves. 198 wins, 154 saves, and cruising right along in a John Smoltz-like year, 5-2 and a 3.19 ERA, weather permitting. Interleague play starts tonight. He's scheduled to go tomorrow against Daisuke. John Smoltz joins us on the phone lines. Good morning, John. It's John and Greg here in Boston. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing great.
Does 19 years seem possible to even you? I mean, obviously you went through it. That's remarkable, isn't it?
It really has been. It's been I wouldn't say roller coaster, but at times a roller coaster ride with injuries and ups and downs. But really, for the last 16 of them, we've had tremendous opportunities to be successful, and I couldn't ask for anything more as a player to be part of that in one organization. It doesn't happen, and I don't know if it'll ever happen again.
Hey, you mentioned injuries, and I guess you might be the poster boy for saying for the anti baseball players aren't that tough. You dislocated the pinky finger on your throwing hand, and you're planning on pitching tomorrow.
Yeah, I've been through my share of different pains. You know, it's a little bit different for a pitcher than any other sport. You can't afford to have a blister, as you're seeing already with Josh Beckett. You can't afford too many things to go wrong, and we don't necessarily proclaim or have to proclaim to be super tough guys. We just have to have certain digits working for us. And, you know, fortunately for me, I didn't break the finger. I reacted worse than I wanted to because I was more mad than hurt.
I was going to ask you seemed like you were as angry as you were in pain.
Yeah, when I saw that my finger, I thought I was out for a month. And I worked too hard to get back to this position to have some freak injury cause me to miss time. And I was just really angry, and I regret throwing my glove. But
That was the reason for that. And I think the one thing that I've been very fortunate to have this thing heal the way it has and to be able to be a non-issue when I pitch on Saturday.
It's a very un-Braves-like season last year. What's the difference for you guys so far this year?
Well, the biggest difference has been so far so good. You know, we've had a few injuries that we've escaped, but really the injury bug is something every club hopes they don't have to deal with. But the quality of pitching that we have this year far exceeds last year, and we've already done things this year that we never did the whole last year. And we've been a little bit lucky this year in the sense that we scored a lot of two-out runs. That can be a sign of a good ball club, and it also could be a little misleading. You know, one of the things that last year we never put ourselves in position to have comeback wins or even hold victories, and we're doing all of that this year. We hit the little skids here in Washington, but we're a team that has to have a lot of things go right, where other teams are stronger in their depth than we may be. We have to have the Chipper Joneses and Andrews hit constantly. We can't afford for them to go into slumps where other teams have a little bit more on their bench or what have you. And we really depend on our hitters to provide 3 to 5 runs every game to give us a chance.
You just turned 40 the other day, so I should say happy birthday to you, John. You got a couple more years to go on your deal with the Braves. Would you ever entertain a Roger Clemens-type scenario later on in your career in a couple of years where maybe you wouldn't come back until May or June? Would that be something that you think would interest you?
No, it wouldn't. I could say that with all assurance. I love what I do. I love the structure of what I do. I have 4 kids, and I would have loved to have a better lifestyle for them to see their father a little bit more, but they understand what I do, and I just couldn't do that. The way I do life and the way I do baseball is similar in the sense that when I'm doing something, I enjoy it full-heartedly. I put forth everything that is required in it, and my personality couldn't allow me to do that. More power to him and what he's able to do, because he's a freak of nature, and he certainly keeps going out and proving that. It doesn't matter if it's June, July, May, left-handed, right-handed, he has gone out and dominated, which I don't know that I could even fathom doing that, taking that much time off.
Is any part of it that you wouldn't want to do that to your teammates either, that you wouldn't want to be away from them or see them playing 162 games and you not necessarily being there the entire year? Does that play into it?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, my structure here, for 20 years I've been putting on a uniform for the Atlanta Braves, and I hope that I can do one thing. I hope that, obviously, I'm very successful for the team's sake, but I hope there's other things that I have contributed to the clubhouse, to the players, to the young generation. And basically, my job before I leave is to pass on the baton to a couple of players that a Dale Murphy and the guys like that passed on to me. And the life of a baseball player is very interesting. Probably a lot of behind the scenes that people don't understand, and you're with the guys together for about 200, I think it's about 240 days counting spring training. So there's a lot that you can do together, and obviously the friendships you gain, but more important than that, you're fighting to try and accomplish a team goal. And I don't think by any means that this is going to set a precedent for the future. This is one guy that heads and shoulders above the rest, and when it comes to certain things that he's been able to do. And I know people constantly discern over whether or not this is something that is good or not, but the Yankees think so, the Houston Astros thought so, and we'll just see.
We're talking with John Smoltz of the Atlanta Braves, and John, I'm sure all your comments that you just made were talking about the shortened season. You know, you talked about the 240 days. Would a part of you be even slightly jealous about not having to go on a West Coast road trip that you weren't going to appear in, or does the same standards apply to that as well?
No, same standards apply. You know, one of the things I've done, I have four children. I'm very involved when I come home with the school that I'm building. So I sacrifice a lot when I come home, that when I go on the road, those are the times that I actually do get a chance to play golf. And for me, what's important for me in 4 days in between starting is I have a routine that I like. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I could adhere to a bunch of moving around and changing that routine. That's just me. I just like certain things. Like, for example, I like playing golf the day before and the day after I pitch. It's a routine I've done for 19 years that fits well with me. And I also enjoy seeing parts of those country to play golf. So, no, I couldn't. I don't think I could do that. I really don't.
Hey, what would your ERA be if you had pitched all your career in the American League? Do you think it would be much different?
That's a good question.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but the reason that comes up is, again, it's the Clemens situation. People are trying to extrapolate what he's going to be, you know, Houston versus the New York Yankees. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, there's no doubt that, you know, historically the American League has more hitters, more one-way game. I mean, they're looking for the three-run homer. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily looking at the bunt. There's not as much strategy. And I think there's a chance to give up more runs, certainly in the American League. But the one thing that I also look at is the National League, for some reason, has seemed to build a bunch of bandbox ballparks. Mm-hmm. I mean, every ballpark seems to be a hitter's dream. So I think the one thing that you are afforded in the National League is the opportunity to get a couple easy outs, and that being the pitcher. And in the American League, you know, 1 through 9 could typically take you deep. So
right.
I've often thought about what it would be like to pitch in that, and it would be I think I would have to be a different, little bit of a different pitcher. I'd probably be more of a strikeout pitcher, or try to be in the American League than I have been in the National League.
So you actually anticipate a rocking chair inning or two per game when you know you're going to get 7, 8, 9.
Absolutely, because, you know, the American League is, again, built around the designated hitter and the ability for each, you look at the times. I mean, the American League games are going 3.5 hours, and
right.
The National League games are going a lot less than that. And there's some, I personally like the National League game a lot better, but that's just because I've been here all these years and I enjoy the strategy. And
right.
Even I can't hit anymore, but still the thought of being able to do little things to help your team win is intriguing to a pitcher. And to the fans who are seeing how they're going to get it done.
Hey, a couple of your teammates were not critical, but saying they don't think it's fair the way the schedule is working out with interleague play. And I'm reading from the Atlanta newspapers. Francoeur for one and Chipper Jones for another. And I guess what they're pointing to is the fact that you guys have to play the Red Sox, the Tigers, the Indians, and Minnesota, three of the top four teams in the American League. And a team like the Marlins play Tampa Bay 6 times and Kansas City 3 times. What do you think about interleague play in general and the schedule specifically, John?
Well, I've been consistent on this ever since someone asked me. I don't like interleague. I think interleague has not served its purpose from the standpoint. It seems to be controlled in ways that they want to control it. Meaning we've yet to go to Anaheim. We've yet to go to Kansas City. We've yet to play some teams that you think in all these years of opportunities that are rotating division.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, somebody determines who our rival is going to be. It was the Yankees for a while. Now it seems to be Boston. And for that fact, I think when you have competitive balance, I don't mind the fact that we're playing the Central. It's the fact that they pick another team that becomes your rival. Mm. And that is where you start, you know, in baseball. You know as well as I do that you can come down to one game. And I know we have to play the season, and the season plays itself out. But I'm not a big fan of when there is an opportunity to play all your teams to compete for a playoff spot. Now that wild card is there, you're not going to have the same competitive balance. And it's the only sport I know of, with the exception of football, because they can't play enough games, mm-hmm. that has that situation. Basketball plays everybody. You know, they only play the West Coast teams twice. Now hockey's come up with a situation where they don't even play a whole division one year. And I think sports should be about competitive balance and everybody having to play the same teams. That's where my argument comes. I love the idea of playing the Boston Red Sox. I just wish everybody would have to play the Boston Red Sox, and I think we can accomplish that. But they haven't asked me to set the schedule or work on the computers yet.
Maybe after you retire, something you can do. You saw Josh Beckett quite a bit inside your own division when he pitched for the Florida Marlins his first few years in the National League. Were you surprised at all that he had some struggles last year in his transition from the National League to the American League?
Yes, I am, but that's just because I give him a tremendous amount of credit of being a great pitcher, and I always expect Josh Beckett to go out, and I think that's the tough nugget he's had to deal with, because everyone expects him to go 20 and whatever. He's got dynamic stuff, but the one thing he's not been able to avoid is the finger issue, and that's something that it's a shame for a pitcher to have that problem occur so many different times because of what he can do. And the adjustment that Tim Hudson had to make to the National League, quite honestly, I thought would be easier for him than it was for Josh Beckett. And both struggled in their transition, and I think Josh definitely struggled with the transition of whether it's the city, but more or less the awareness of facing different hitters in different ballparks. And there's something to be said for that. And I, along with, unfortunately, so many different times people pick me to win the Cy Young because of stuff. Stuff doesn't win you the Cy Young, but that's certainly the kind of stuff that he has. And being one of the front runners in the American League, hopefully he can stay healthy to be able to live that out.
A lot of it, I know, is also growing up mentally as a pitcher and not just being a stuff guy. When did you finally feel like you got it, not just physically, not just with your stuff, but mentally as a baseball player?
Well, when I was able to add a few pitches, I mean, I was a two-pitch pitcher forever and was fairly successful being a two-pitch pitcher. I had a slider that basically got me where I am today, but also got me a few surgeries. And I think that when I was able to develop a split finger and bring back my curveball and even develop a changeup, the transitions of going over the top to sidearm to bullpen back to starting allowed me to be a complete pitcher. I've never really been given credit to be a pitcher because of that stuff that always seems to be talked about. So when I made those transitions and pitched hurt, I think in 1996 it was easy to think about John Smoltz arriving. But prior to that, I had to pitch hurt. I had to pitch hurt for 3 years, and nobody really realized it until I had my first surgery. And pitching hurt, I learned a lot about myself and mechanics so that when I was healthy, I really felt a refreshing feeling that I could put it all together. And unfortunately, after 96, I went through three more hurt sessions of the inevitable Tommy John, and then really the transition of going to the bullpen. For me, solidified the ability that I can make adjustments and be successful.
Hey, John Smoltz, did becoming a reliever hurt your golf game?
Not at all.
No?
In fact, there were no restricted days that I couldn't play. Starting, I obviously can't play on the fifth day that I'm,
right.
I can't play when I'm pitching. But no, closing, all that allowed me to do is play every day, because one thing that I felt that it's a ridiculous argument when you talk about playing golf, hitting the golf ball. I hit the golf ball, let's say, 40 times and putt it the rest. And then I don't pitch till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to prove that theory goes right out the window, because that first year, I think I had 55 saves and played golf a lot. And that's just the way I relax. That's the way I go out and enjoy the time that I have. Otherwise, I'd stay in the hotel and sleep till 2 o'clock, and that can't be a good formula.
You're supposed to start tomorrow. What are you going to do today?
Well, he was going to go to Granite Links.
Well, I was going to say, you're not playing Granite Links today.
No, there's not going to be golf today. Right. There's a couple things I like to do. I like to cut lawn and grass. I cut my grass at home and play golf, both of which you can't do on the road. But I just make the necessary adjustments.
I did the math based on hitting 40 shots and averaging whatever, 30 putts. So you're about a 1.9 handicap, John? Is that what it is?
I'm actually a plus.
Oh, you are a plus.
I'm sorry.
That was disrespectful.
I'll slap him in the face. That's really nice. All right, John, I apologize for my partner.
A plus what, John?
That I can't divulge. I can't divulge. It, when you're a plus or a scratch, I think everybody's the same. You know, for the sake of this being a national radio show, it might hurt my
Yeah. Hey, John, are you big on milestones? And the reason I ask, 200 looms in front of you in not too far down the road. Will that be cause for celebration?
Not really. I'll give you a quick story of what I feel about milestones. I'm just a guy that enjoys what he does, and I don't put too much credit or too much credence into in any one particular area. The 55 saves was pretty important. I tied a record and all that stuff. Like, I don't really keep track of things very well, and I had the ball written on 55 saves, put it in my back of my house somewhere. Well, the next year I was warming up, getting ready for spring training, and outside I'd be, you know, just grab a ball and play catch, and next thing I know, I'm playing catch with the 55 save ball. After about 5 minutes, I realized I better do a better job and put it up on the shelf somewhere. I really don't. And 200 is just a number, and I certainly want to far exceed that. But I'll take a small glimpse of time to say, wow, this is great, but then that's it.
Hey, the commissioner last night on Boston radio and television said that he hasn't made up his mind yet as to whether he's going to be present when Barry Bonds breaks the record. What do you think about that? And if he chose not to go, what kind of message do you think that would send?
Well, I think, first of all, this issue has just been blown up 1,000 times, and somebody's trying to make something out of something. It's to each their own. I mean, this is a record. Well, what do you do? I don't know. Do you follow the guy around for 15 games? If you're tied, it's not a record that, like a pitcher, you got a better chance of being successful in one game than necessarily a hitter. So my feelings on this are, hey, the man is one of the greatest players I've ever played against. He's going to break the record, and everyone's going to choose to do whatever they want to either celebrate it, diminish it, whatever. And I just leave it at that. You know, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. People can say what they want and make a case for what they want. My point 2 years ago was, if we're still talking about this today, which we are, then baseball has a lot more work to do. We should have and found a way to clean this up quicker than we did. And that's my statement. If we're even talking about it next year, then baseball has a lot of work to do. And until that cloud gets pushed away, I just think it's a shame for all parties included.
Hey, John, if you found yourself on the mound and Bonds sitting on the number, what would your approach be?
It's a great question, because my approach has always been the same. I'm not stupid, but I'm going to go after him. You know, I'm going to go after him the same way I've gone after him. You know, people like to throw up the 8 home runs he set off me, but they forget I faced him like 150 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever the number is, I don't know how many, it seems like 100 times. So that ratio I will take with any hitter. I'm certainly not going to risk a game or just because my ego wants to get him out. But I'm the type of guy, I'm not going to be ashamed one way or the other. I know there's some people who intentionally walk him so they don't have their name in the record book.
And be seen on video a million times, giving up the home run, you know?
I personally don't approach the game like that. I'm not afraid to fail.
Assuming you're not facing him for 756, will you root for him to break it? Do you want to see him break it?
You know, again, I think anything that proves a guy's career, and his career is definitely speaks volume of longevity. I mean, here I'm in the city of Atlanta with one of the greatest all-time, Hank Aaron. So certainly you're a little bit partial to your hometown great guy in Hank Aaron. But what it does for me, and I'll answer this, it's going to probably seem like a political answer. I think it just shows the greatness of Hank Aaron, and it just magnifies what he has been able to do in an era that we all know about today has changed. So, do I root for him? I played against the guy forever. He's going to break the record, and he's going to be remembered for whatever he's remembered for. But I typically don't root for anybody other than my teammates.
What will you remember him for, John?
What I'll remember him for, you talking about Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds, yeah.
I will remember him for being the greatest, what I considered 5-2 player that I have ever played against. Now, I didn't play against Ken Griffey Jr., when he was in his heyday over in American League. So I can only speak about who I played against, and I'll remember him as just the greatest challenge a pitcher has ever had to face, and that being Barry Bonds.
All right, John Smoltz, we appreciate the time today. Hopefully we get to see a pitch tomorrow against Dice K. That should be an interesting matchup if the sky's clear, and we appreciate the time this morning, John. Thanks very much.
All right.
John
Smoltz right.
with Dennison Dickerson.
Experts agree that listening to Dennison
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.